At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, a little less than a week ago, Aaron Torres, you and I were sitting in this studio saying, here's the field of 68. At the end of the day, we'll be down to 16. We've got 24 right now. 8 more games today. And I wonder, after yesterday, is today going to be more chaos, or are we going to get chalk like we kind of got on Saturday?
Great to be with you, Dan. It's interesting because this, you know, there's some things that just become kind of talking points. And I think, you know, this one is accurate, but you hear people say is like, you know, the upsets are great and they give us the moments that we remember. But do you really want a lot of upsets? Because then you end up with the schools that you never heard of, you know, nothing about deep in the tournament. Well, yesterday, a 1 seed, 3 2 seeds, and two 3 seeds advance. So we've had largely chalk into the Sweet 16. Obviously, a lot coming today.
We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Now, there are 3 1 seeds playing today, but to your point of what you're saying, of the top 3 seed lines, only one team has been ousted so far, and that would be Kentucky losing to Oakland on Thursday. And so there's another conversation that comes with it, and we'll talk about this bracket, but for as much as we criticize the committee, did they get the top lines right, considering how these teams have advanced so far?
Well, I think they did, and you know, we talked about this last Sunday. I'm far from a bracketologist, but I do think, you know, it was pretty clear who those elite of the elite teams were. And that was kind of one of my takes coming into the tournament, and we'll see if it fully holds to fruition. But I said, I don't see a lot of 7 seeds and 9 seeds and 11 seeds advancing deep, deep, deep into the tournament. I thought that upper tier, the Houstons, the Iowa States, the UConns, the North Carolinas, the Arizonas, I thought they were cut above everybody else. Now, again, we still have 8 games today, and if Marquette loses this game to Colorado and Houston gets upset and Purdue gets upset, then it'll be a completely different conversation. But I do think the large chalk is not totally surprising to me, even though, again, we always say that we expect certain things, and then when it ends up happening, we act surprised.
I am curious, obviously, how this is all going to play out. It is funny because I'm also an idiot, Aaron. Completely an idiot. These were my thoughts a week ago when we sat here on Selection Sunday and seeing the bracket. Gosh, I love the SEC. The SEC is gonna show everybody that they are the conference where the action was this season. You are gonna see the SEC shine. In fact, I did multiple brackets this year and had one where I called an SEC bracket, okay, where 3 of the 4 schools were from the SEC in the Final Four.
Okay, so that would have obviously been Tennessee, I would assume.
Yep, that's one.
Kentucky, that, I would
hit. Yep, hit the road, Jack, Kentucky.
Don't tell me it was Auburn.
It was Auburn. No. Why? Everybody's going to pick UConn, right? Everybody's going to pick UConn. So let's have Auburn in the Sweet 16 upset. And
oh, no.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Not only that, Aaron, not only that am I an idiot on the bracket. In deciphering on how things worked through championship week, and you know what I'm going to say because you and I have talked about this. I thought the bid Steelers were done.
Huh.
NC State, it was fun. Your five-game run in the ACC tournament, that's not going to last. Texas Tech, you're on to the next round with ease. Another 6-11 game. BYU, tougher conference. Duquesne, nice try. Not going to work. Not going to work here. A-10 maybe, not the NCAA tournament. However, New Mexico, I'll tell you what, I love what the Lobos are doing. As that 11 seed, I went of those three, I did like Oregon to win their game. But of those three, I was 1-2. Now NC State's in the Sweet 16. I know Duquesne got run off the court against Illinois yesterday, but Clemson took care of New Mexico with pretty much ease. So I was completely off base a week ago as we sat here.
Well, and I've told you this throughout the week, is my one philosophy was, you know, if a team tells you who they are all season long, believe them. In other words, if they've been inconsistent, trust that. So because of it, you know, the bracket would be looking pretty good, except the one team that I talked myself into that not applying to was Kentucky. I was like, they got so much talent. And they actually were pretty good down the stretch. I mean, listen, let's not overreact to that one loss in the SEC tournament. They won the final day of the season against Tennessee. At Tennessee, they're a good team. They won't let me down this year until they did. And now it's absolute chaos in the blue.
Maybe it was good for them, right? That loss is good for them. Get some rest. Don't play on Sunday. It's good for them.
And they learned how fragile March can be. They learned if they don't show up ready to play in the opening round, they could lose. Oh, wait, they didn't show up in the opening round to play. Jack Golke went for 14 for 17 from three, and now 20, he's going to be on every montage for the rest of time because Calipari couldn't get his guys going.
Is that the story of the NCAA tournament so far to you? Is it Kentucky or do we branch out in a different way?
Well, it's Kentucky. It's really a worst case scenario for them because there hasn't been that other upset, right? Where there's years where it's like, well, Kentucky, like Kentucky lost, but did you see what just happened to Purdue? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, Purdue, we got to talk about them or whatever. So I think it's really two things. Is I think one, it is the fact that there really hasn't been that other upset after it. But then to take it a step further, and I know this was a topic you and I talked about a lot on Friday, it sounds like Kentucky is very seriously considering not bringing John Calipari back, that this was the loss that broke the camel's back. Now, I think we get some sort of resolution in the next 24 hours. I would guess that they're trying to figure out, okay, if we move off of John Calipari, who will actually take this job? But I just bring it up because I think, yes, that is the story because there hasn't been that other cataclysmic upset because, honestly, all the other top seeds are winning. It makes Kentucky look that much worse when Tennessee advances, when Iowa State advances, when North Carolina advances with ease. There isn't that other team to poke at. Now, again, maybe by the end of the day, Purdue takes a loss and we can poke at them. Duke takes a loss to James Madison. We can poke at them. But right now, it's Kentucky taking all the bullets, all the strays for all the highly ranked teams that haven't been able to that have been able to advance.
My whole point on the Cal stuff is, who are you going to get?
It's fair.
Tell me that. Tell me who would be better. And I, from everything that I've gathered, and again, you're more connected to the Kentucky situation. Heck, you have a book out, don't you? I mean,
it's an old book. Back, it's celebrating John Calipari and how great he is.
Author Aaron Torres. So you're more locked in on Kentucky. My point is just, it's not the, well, who are you going to get? It's just the fact of who are you going to get, and can't you just put a little bit more trust in the situation? I know the last couple of years hasn't been great tournament-wise, sure. But again, they end up being a three seed.
They finished second in the SEC, and everybody was saying a week ago it's the toughest the SEC has ever been. I'm with you on that.
And as I said on Friday, if Gulke doesn't, you know, if hits eight threes instead of the 10 that he hit, it could be a completely different story. And, you know, Oakland fared very well yesterday against NC State, another conversation. I think that they helped themselves, but with Kentucky's demise and Oakland doing what they're doing and what Gulke did, I think that's team-wise, game-wise, that's the story of the tournament right now. I would just be careful what you wish for. You even mentioned this, I think, in passing on Friday, and I completely agree with you, and I'm sorry if I'm putting words in your mouth, but you heard Kevin Wyatt say Dusty May is going to be the new men's basketball coach at Michigan, getting a five-year deal. No clue at all if that works out. 100%. And honestly, would have no clue if Dusty May would have gone to Ohio State, if Mike Woodson would have been gone and he went back to Indiana, if he would have gone to – have no clue if it's going to work out or not, as evidenced by what we just saw on Friday with FAU. Again, in a nail-biter, and I know they're a shot away from going to the national championship game last year, but you were also a shot away from being ousted in the first round by Memphis last year. So that fine line in deciding on who is and who isn't, well, I just don't think that you know in college basketball.
Well, and I think if you know, we want to do the Kentucky thing, I'll say this. I didn't see the actual quote, so I don't want to put words in other people's mouths, but apparently on the College Game Day set yesterday, which would be Jay Billis, Jay Williams, whatever, somebody said there are only two people that are built to coach at Kentucky, Rick Pitino and John Calipari, and that got smeared all over the internet. I do think the number of people that are actually built, that fully understand what that job entails, I think are probably fewer and far between than people think. And so the name that a lot of people seem to think could have, you know, would be the replacement for John Calipari. That's realistic. Like, you know, yeah, do you call Jay Wright and see if you can get him out of retirement? Yes, it's probably not going to happen. The realistic name is probably Scott Drew at Baylor. He's won a national championship. But Scott Drew has never felt a single day of pressure like he would the second that he walks into that Kentucky job. The first day would be the greatest day ever. Let's celebrate you. Now it's how are you going to get us number nine? How are you going to get us another championship? We haven't been to a Final Four in a decade. And so the only point that I'm trying to make, which confirms what you're saying, is I think there's a lot of great coaches out there, but there are certain jobs that you just have to be built a little bit different. And we know what those jobs are. You know, New York Yankees, Dallas Cowboys for sure.
Yep.
And Kentucky basketball is one of them. It's, you know, just because you've won a lot of other places doesn't mean you're built for the day-to-day pressure cooker of that.
Yeah, shortstop for the Yankees, quarterback for the Cowboys, head coach of the Cowboys. Yeah. You can go down the list up and down with the Cowboys. Yeah. Any Laker you could put in that conversation, for sure. I think, Cal, I would trust that they figure out a way to figure it out. And it's also just the point of putting so much on 40 minutes in March. You know, I don't think that the conversation is as intense if Kentucky, say, lost to NC State yesterday.
100%. You know, 1,000%. You're 1,000% right. Absolutely.
So there would be, it would have been a, you know, power six school, and you would have had, but they still would have had an 11 in front of their name and not a 14 from a mid, low major league. Like, that's the stuff that ends up drawing and makes it so much worse, but I just don't know the difference. I don't think that the difference in a guy keeping his job and a guy not keeping his job is what happened on Thursday night when they, heck, were down one in Oakland, nails a corner three to kind of seal the deal. I know it should never have gotten to that point,
but again,
if they win, we're not having this conversation.
Let me ask you one quick question on Kentucky, because I've read some of the reports. I don't have anything outside of what's out there. If the AD comes to you and you're John Calipari and starts trying to dictate how the roster should be built, because what I kind of saw was that, you know, they're kind of over the freshman stuff, and, you know, you can't win with freshmen in this era of college basketball. Because my whole thing is, everybody says that, and I know we're getting a little nerdy college hoops, but if there's ever a time to do it, now's the time, is you can't win with freshmen in college hoops. Well, to your point, they were the second best team in the SEC. They were a three seed. They were a stop away from potentially winning that game. If you're Calipari and the AD now is dictating to you, okay, you can stay, but you can't build your roster like this, you can't do this, that's where I get a little tripped up. Is if they want to get rid of you, okay, whatever. if they want to bring you back under terms on how you run your team, and like, that's where I would be like, if I'm Cal, I'm like, I'm the basketball coach. You crunch numbers up there in an office upstairs. That's where I would get annoyed.
I also just think the theory of what they're saying has just got inconsistencies. There's something about when we talk about freshmen and having success, they're two different things. Like, you can win with freshmen, but those freshmen need to develop.
Yes.
And that's why like DJ Wagner, like this was the class. I remember I went to the Breeders' Cup. It wasn't this past year when it was at Keeneland, but it was the year prior. And I went to an exhibition game where the Wildcats played Kentucky State. I wanted to check out Rupp. My boy Roy got me some tickets. We ended up checking it out. And the conversation, Aaron, and this is entering the 2022-2023 season, with Oscar Tshiebwe coming back, the conversation really wasn't about that season. Yep. It was about this season, about the one that was just completed and ended a couple of nights ago by the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, now Thursday night. And so it's that point of that class and those players, and not to put it all on DJ Wagner's shoulders, but I just think it's a perfect example of Reed Shepard's probably off to the NBA, and Dillingham is great. And now all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second, where's Wagner in all of this? It's not like the Fab Five when everybody is really, really good. Even the fifth, even, you know, Jimmy King or Ray Jack, like it's not that. Certain guys didn't develop. So you maybe missed certain spots. Maybe that was a hole that wasn't there. But if the development doesn't come, and maybe that is on the coaches, that's another whole conversation. It's not just this blanket thing of you can't win with 18-year-olds. Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily true. I do think that the game is different, but I think those guys have to end up progressing, and maybe Kentucky's a different team if that does happen with Wagner.
Well, yeah, it's just I go back to in the last month of the regular season, who was your Final Four? I'm not being sarcastic. Auburn. They were the hottest team in the SEC to end the year. Like, and I'm not making fun of you in any way, shape, or form.
That was just my SEC bracket. But okay. Yes, yeah.
But everybody loved all. Yep. Listen, I will say that as a UConn guy, I said the toughest team that UConn might face in the entire tournament is Auburn in the Sweet 16. Okay. So I bring that up because Kentucky won at Auburn. Alabama, oh, Nate Oates, he's the greatest young innovator in threes and spacing and da da da. Kentucky destroyed them. Well, Tennessee, I mean, this is finally the year. Dalton Knecht, could he be the first player off the board out of college? He's a top five pick. Kentucky wins against Tennessee. So it's tough because a couple things. One, everyone in the sport is judged in March. Dusty May being a perfect example. Two, Calipari did say at the beginning of his time, give me November, December, January to get it right. We'll be peaking in March. So that's part of it as well. Well, you're not peaking in March anymore. But part of it is also we do have to look at the totality of things, and that Tennessee team that everybody loves today because they're in the Sweet 16, that Auburn team that everybody loved a week ago, including me, because they won the SEC, those are teams that Kentucky beat. I tend to side more with you is that we can't, what is the term, throw the baby out with the bathwater, which
yes,
I don't really understand what that term even means, but I think I'm using it correctly here, is you can't celebrate a Tennessee win, an Auburn win, and an Alabama win in the moment, and then also say that they mean nothing when March doesn't go your way, if that makes sense.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. We'll leave that other stuff to the experts. Hit them up.
Babies in bathwater.
Yes,
definitely not my.
You're throwing out the bathwater. You just take the baby out of it. You don't keep it just because it was in the bathwater. But I get what you're saying.
I think you get in trouble for that.
Yeah, that's not a good move. Hit him up, Aaron_Torres. You can find me at Dan Beyer on Fox. A little special edition today, mixing things up here on Fox Sports Radio because of the NCAA tournament that is going on right now and just underway. Marquette and Colorado in that 2-10 matchup. Golden Eagles, an early 12-5 lead. Should be an exciting game. Both teams like to score some points. That's what we've got in the South region in Indianapolis. Marquette up early in their first TV timeout as they are up by 7. All right, the story of the tournament is blank. Kentucky is one of those. Oakland's another one. But there's another word that I think we need to put in that blank that fits very, very well for what we've seen the first 3 days. Plus, guys, it's March Madness, and I just got an alert on my screen time on my phone. how much is my screen time increased just from last week because of March Madness? I'm afraid to look.
Stay tuned.
That's next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. A special edition of Fox Sports Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Kevin Wyatt's going to have an update of what's going on, not only in the men's tournament, but second round play in the women's tournament as well. Buckeyes up early on the Blue Devils. Just like in basketball, a successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what really sets them apart. So lace up your sneakers and make the winning play by heading to your local Tractor Supply store today. And get ready to compete. Yes, compete, and you can check out our brackets right now. If you competed against us as hosts here on Fox Sports Radio, just visit foxsportsradio.com. Yeah, check out how all the hosts are doing. It's the foxsportsradio.com bracket challenge presented by Tractor Supply and Graduate Hotels. My screen time was up 9%. That is a pretty big jump, considering, I think, the amount of screen time that I already have. But it's because of what's gone on with March Madness. It's because I've been checking out the Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge to see how poorly I've done, not only for everybody who registered, but also for everybody, all the other hosts like yourself that have competed. You're faring pretty well.
Am I? I just seen the...
I'll tell you. I've got it right here in front of me. Aaron Torres, if I were to say to you, Aaron Torres, you are in blank place, what would be good out of, say, 30?
Out of 30 hosts?
Yes.
I mean, the way you framed it makes me feel like I'm somewhere between, I will say, 6 and 11.
Gosh, the way that the standings work, it says you're in 6th, but you're not in 6th. You're in about 15th place.
Told you. I knew it wasn't good because I had Kentucky. I've seen our Fox Sports Radio social team does a great job of updating every day the host brackets, and I know none of the top 3 days I've been in the top 5. So
don't worry, I'm below you. That's all you need to know. You want to know why? Because I like upsets. I like a 2 seed losing in the second round. We didn't see that yesterday. I like a 3 seed being knocked off in the second round by a red hot 6 seed. We did not see that yesterday. The story of this tournament right now to me is chalk.
Sure.
And It truly is of yesterday. And this is the balance. And I know you and Jason Martin talked about this last night. And no offense, a lot of talk radio shows are talking about this when it comes to the tournament, of the perfect recipe for a tournament. When you have too many Cinderellas, it's not interesting at the end. But when you don't have enough Cinderellas at the beginning, it doesn't reel you in to bring you into the end. But there's something interesting that happened yesterday that I think like fed both worlds. And it happened with Oakland. Oakland being competitive, Oregon basically playing 2-on-5 in a double overtime game against Creighton, because it was a two-man show at the end for pretty much the second half of the game against Creighton. All of that was intriguing. And Oakland more so than Oregon, just because we know Oregon and it's such a name brand. But here's Oakland. They play a competitive game, and there's drama up and down. And in the end, it doesn't work out for them. NC State ends up pulling away in overtime. But to watch a game and to watch Oakland hang around, to watch them have an opportunity, they had the ball with 11 seconds left, score tied at the end of regulation, and weren't even able to set up a play to get a shot after a deflection and a replay. But all of that, Aaron, gets you involved. It gets you interested. It keeps you interested. I look back at last year, and there were so many upsets that were going on. We kind of lost track a little bit of what was up and what was down, because everybody was losing.
Sure.
Left and right. But I also remember sitting down on Saturday morning of the first game of the second round and watching San Diego State just destroy Furman.
Yep.
And Furman was the story of the first day, because they had the turnover against Virginia, and then they hit the deep three, and we're all about Furman. We got zero from Furman, and it's okay. I'm not blaming Furman at all for their performance in the second round. But Oakland gave us something yesterday. So for those 2.5 hours, they provided us with more drama and more of a story. And the games were good yesterday. Outside of Illinois-Duquesne, I think everything was fairly competitive. I know North Carolina ran away, but if I'm missing one of it, they were pretty good games. But even if Cinderella loses, as long as they're competitive, as long as they don't just completely fall off the face of the earth, it provides for compelling basketball. And I think that's what's good, and that's what worked out yesterday. And, yeah, now we're headed into a Sweet 16 where we're going to have some really good matchups coming up on Thursday and Friday.
You know, and not to change the subject, but, you know, you mentioned Illinois. Like, you talk about a team that all of a sudden now it's like, you know, we were on during the Big Ten championship game, and you're like, okay, they're good, but they haven't really had that run under Brad Underwood. Are they really that good? Is the Big Ten down? No, they're awesome. Now they play Iowa State. You know, we could be looking at a potential North Carolina-Arizona matchup in the Elite Eight in L.A., just down the street from where we are. Arizona will play
Baylor.
The winner of Baylor, yeah. Potentially. Yeah. So you just talked, oh, by the way, we have Creighton, Tennessee is already set. So, I'm excited because, and that's like I'll be honest, like I'm supposed to go cover the West Regional final or the West Regional tournament next Thursday night. But I'm like, you know, if we get Iowa State, Illinois is already set, because that East region with UConn and, you know, either Yale or San Diego State, we could have a UConn San Diego State rematch. We will have Illinois, Iowa State. It's like we got a lot of really good matchups, and I am one. And I don't know if I speak for, you know, Joe Public here, but I am one. I would much rather see Iowa State, Illinois in the Sweet 16 for the right to go to the Elite Eight than have seen Illinois get upset by Morehead State. And now we're talking about Morehead State playing in the Sweet 16, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I'll also say this. For as great as Cinderella is, when you're not on Cinderella's side, like if you picked Kentucky, not as much fun as people want to make it be. Like everybody else loves it, but when it's your bracket, you're like, well, this stinks. You know, like I can't even cheer for the story of the tournament right now.
Well, and it's funny, you know, I came out as a guest of the Odd Couple on Friday, and they asked me about the Kentucky situation. I said, look, you know, I think every cliche is absolutely true here. It's a great story in the moment, and it gives everybody a national talking point that they can easily wrap their arms around. I mean, even if Marquette lost or Iowa State lost, nobody's got a TJ Otzelberger take in the holster ready to go if Iowa State loses. But if Calipari and Kentucky lose, and so it's great in that moment, But then I also think that you miss out on so many more Calipari conversations over the course of the tournament. Like, let's do the inverse. Like, that 24 hours after Kentucky lost, it was great for content. But you know what else would have been great for content? If Calipari did take those freshmen to a Final Four, we got three more games out of them. You know, does it work? Were we all wrong? What about the freshmen? Now America knows who Rob Dillingham is, who Reed Sheppard is. Could Reed Sheppard be the number one overall pick? So it's a push-pull balance, and I don't want to keep going back to Kentucky because there's 67 other teams in this tournament, 24 teams left. But it's like, that's the perfect example of, in the moment, it feels like, oh, there's so much to talk about. But it's like, you know how much more there would have been to talk about if we won? I'm sorry.
Just keep going. It's totally fine. The point I was just going to make was, Calipari's one of the faces of this tournament.
No doubt.
Completely is. Watching North Carolina, Michigan State yesterday, I'm sorry, like, North Carolina has been awesome for how long? And the legends that have coached there. But it's different when it's Tom Izzo against Hubert Davis. Like, it's sure. if it's a Roy Williams North Carolina team now in 25 years, sure. If Hubert Davis is still there, completely different story. But for so long, we talked about coaches dominating the headlines of college basketball because that's who we know.
It's coach driven sport.
Yeah, and I think that was even reflected in yesterday, where I felt like there was even a little bit more cachet, despite North Carolina being the number one seed and playing in Charlotte, because you have, hey, January, February, Izzo.
Yeah.
Look at what Michigan State did in Mississippi. You know, and heck, Michigan State had North Carolina for a while in the first half. But that's part of it. And Calipari does bring that. If they continue to advance, his face is still a part of the dance.
Well, and it's funny. 2 weeks ago, so before the bracket came out, Jay Martin and I came on right after UConn won the Big East tournament. And I said, is Dan Hurley becoming the face of college basketball? And I said, I don't know that I believe that, but I can tell you in that Northeast corridor, UConn fans love him. St. John's fans hate him because, remember, he had the beef with the St. John's fan that was Patino's friend, whatever. Seton Hall fans don't like him. Providence fans don't like him. He got into the little skirmish with Creighton fans, and I was like, that's good for college basketball. And I'm not saying this is the UConn guy. I think a deep tournament run where Dan Hurley's dropping F-bombs on the sidelines, and again, I'll keep using Joe Public, Joe Middle America, that Iowa State fan that's never cared about Dan Hurley once in his life, you know, or the Purdue fan or whoever that's like, you know, that guy's kind of a jerk. I say jerk lovingly because I love having him as my coach. But like, I think it'll be good for college basketball if UConn makes another run. Don't have to win a national championship, but where Dan Hurley is on that stage, where some fans will say, I love that fire. I love that energy. I wish that was my coach, because I've gotten a lot of that too as a UConn fan. But I also could see a lot of people saying, you know, that guy's kind of loud, and he's fighting with fans, and he's doing, and it's like, that's what more of college basketball needs. And so, again, it speaks to where we are with this tournament.
You're right. And Mark Few, and you mentioned Scott Drew earlier, have been around for now seemingly forever.
Yep.
And they have not necessarily, we know who Mark Few and Scott Drew are, but it's not Roy Williams, Coach K, Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo-ish, John Calipari-ish.
Yeah.
Hurley could carve out his path there.
And the last thing too, I it's why the Gonzaga thing is interesting, because for so many years they were so good, number one seeds, and it was polarizing. Like, well, they only got the number one seed because they're in a bad league, blah, blah, blah. But now when they're like the five seed, kind of overachieving, it doesn't have that same feel. So again, I always say, you know, whoever it is in sports, whether it's your quarterbacks, your NBA stars, your college basketball coaches, you want them to elicit emotion. I just don't know that anybody does right now, and hopefully this tournament helps build some of those guys.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Let's get an update of what's happening in the tournament games, men's and women's, with Kevin Wyatt. What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, round of 32 action, Marquette and Colorado. The two-seeded Golden Eagles shooting lights out at 72.2%, 13 of 18 to start the game. That's got them out to a 30-20 lead over Colorado. They got 8-12 to go in the first half. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, actually a couple hours, I should say. Top-seeded Purdue, 8-seeded Utah State will be the second game of the day. That will follow this one in Indianapolis. On the women's side of things, we do have one game underway already. 2-seeded Ohio State, 7-seeded Duke, and the Buckeyes running away with this one. It's 26-12. They're in the second quarter, about 6.5 minutes to go, as the Blue Devils have struggled mightily to begin the game. 3-of-15 shooting. They've also turned the basketball over 7 times, and they've only played about 13.5 minutes so far in this contest. Coming up in about 20 minutes, top-seeded South Carolina will face 8-seeded North Carolina. 3rd-seeded LSU will face 11-seeded Middle Tennessee. That will take place at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Basketball news, college basketball news. University of Michigan has named Florida Atlantic head coach Dusty May as the new leader of their program, and he's been given a 5-year contract that will pay him an average of $3.75 million per season. In golf, it's the Valspar Championship. Keith Mitchell in the lead at 10 under par. He's set to tee off about an hour and 10 minutes from now. Mackenzie Hughes is tied for second. There's a 3-way tie. Mackenzie Hughes, Peter Malnati, and Shane Power, they're all 8 under par. Then in NASCAR, coming up at 3:30 Eastern time at the Circuit of the Americas, the NASCAR Cup Series race will be seen over on Fox. Back to you guys.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I played in a pro-am once with Mackenzie Hughes at Torrey Pines. Could not have been nicer.
That's good to know.
Yes, an absolute
gem. Would you call him a gem of a guy? Okay, good.
Yes. From Canada, Canadian. Played at Kent State, I believe, but really has made a name for himself over the last couple of years on the PGA Tour. So. Hope Mackenzie Hughes fares well today. Of course, we're focusing on hoops here. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. I got something to say about the Gonzaga story, because I actually think that team can play the role of the villain.
Ooh.
Once again, he's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. That's next year live from the TireRack.com studios on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Sunday. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Marquette's up 7 on Colorado, Aaron. 37-30. 4 minutes to go until halftime. I wondered how much Colorado would have left in them, considering their high-octane affair against Florida. There are a lot of emotions that come out when you have a buzzer beater. Can go one of two ways. Obviously, you can continue that momentum, or sometimes it takes a little out of you. Colorado seemingly got off to a slow start. Lots of basketball, but Marquette right now up 7 in that game. The Golden Eagles and Tyler Kolek's health was a topic of conversation since he didn't play in the Big East tournament. I'm wondering, with Kansas being ousted yesterday, in terms of how we looked at that 4-5 seed, and there'll be more of a Gonzaga conversation that we'll have coming up at the top of the hour in that Midwest region, because I think that is, there's a lot of intrigue in what could happen if Purdue ends up beating Utah State today. But Kansas did not look the part of a 4 seed yesterday, and deserve it, and understandably so is the way to put it when you don't have your leading scorer. But when we're talking about seeding, when we're talking about matchups, when you don't have Kevin McCullough play in the Big 12 tournament, you don't have Hunter Dickinson play in the Big 12 tournament, I don't know what you do as a committee. Maybe you make him a 4 seed and feel that, you know, Gonzaga was your best option as a 5. Could have been flipped, maybe Gonzaga a 4, Kansas a 5, then it doesn't really matter. The point is that Kansas version, for as hard as they played yesterday and even in their game against Samford, I just don't know if they were a 4 seed. Sure. And we talk about seeding, and we're talking about, you know, seed lines and stuff like that. When you have significant injuries like this, I understand a school wanting to play coy, and I'm not saying Kansas did that. It's just the point of, if you're the committee and you're saying, well, they just lost in the Big 12 tournament and two of their best players are hurt, how much do we weigh into this? I think that they gave Kansas the benefit of the doubt, and in the end it didn't pay off, because I don't think that they were truly a 4 seed in that version of the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, you listen to some of Bill Self's pre-tournament. I don't think Bill Self actively lied to get a better seed. And by the way, because I had a lot of people hit me up right before the bracket came out last week of like, how is Kansas still, you know, and I'm like, well, they're one of 3 teams to beat UConn. They're one of 3 teams to beat Houston. They beat Tennessee. It's like, okay, so they beat UConn, beat Houston, beat Tennessee. I don't know. Like, they have the resume of a top seed, but like I said, I don't think that Bill Self actively was trying to fool the committee. I think he believed in his heart of hearts that Kevin McCullough would maybe be able to go. And so I had no problem with them being misseeded. And, you know, listen, they lost to a good Gonzaga team. I think we all knew this wasn't a vintage Kansas team. And so Kansas goes home now.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying that Bill Self lied either. What I'm just saying, if you're the committee, though, how do you look into it?
Sure.
And it's the same thing with Marquette. Is Marquette a two seed if Tyler Kulik isn't there? No, absolutely not. 100% not. Even though they make a run, they're not the same team. He ends up playing, seemed fine in the first game, seems fine today. No harm, no foul. And I think the committee took the same approach with Kansas, and at least they were consistent. Not being there's no one to blame here.
Yeah.
In terms of, I think the committee thought that they did what was best, and I think Kansas was in a situation where you're also trying to improve and get the best scenario for you to make a run. But in the end, that version of Kansas, who's already lacking depth and now you're lacking your leading scorer, just was not the four seed that maybe you would have thought they were with the resume that you talked about, because the resume that they had in the latter part of the year when they were dealing with these injuries also did not represent a four seed.
No doubt about it. And certainly interesting. They go into the offseason. By the way, did you have any issues with Bill Self's comments of basically like, I've been thinking about next year for...
You know, I heard it, and then I didn't hear the entire window of it.
If you do, it's not very controversial.
Yeah, anymore. I didn't think so, and that's what I took it as. And I did see some other entities just taking that clip. I've seen people be outraged of thinking about next year, and if that's what the point was, then that's really too bad. But to your point, if it was completely taken out of context, then yeah, I didn't listen to the entire clip.
We have the full cut, and I won't make Bo play it because it's like 90 seconds. But essentially he said, you know, because they said like, well, how do you gear up for next year? And he's like, honestly, I've been thinking about next year for 6 weeks now, or whatever he said, a month. And he said, you know, he said, when we're in the games, we're locked in on the games. But he's like, we've only had 8 healthy players for most of the year. We only have 6 healthy players right now. And he basically said, like, you kind of knew this just wasn't going to be our year. And so, yeah, it got blown into something because it's Bill Self, $9 million a year coach. I get it. But I also, when you listen to the whole context, it's not as big of a deal as people make it out to be.
All right, to keep you updated, Marquette is up on Colorado 39-32 in that 2-10 matchup. Marquette right now, you ready for this? They've missed 6 shots.
Okay.
All of those were threes, but they're 5 of 11 from behind the arc. They have not missed a 2-point field goal in this game. Yes, they are 12 for 12 from the floor in this game against Colorado right now. That's probably not going to last, but is it going to go to the free throw line? But yeah, right now Marquette's shooting 74% from the floor. Colorado's like, hey, you know, we're shooting 50% and we're sitting here trying to keep our head above water in a pace that we felt was going to be the up and down. Marquette's largest lead of the game, 12 points, but yeah, shooting 75% from the field right now, have not, 17 minutes in, have not missed a 2-point field goal in that 2-10 game. Winner has NC State waiting for them.
Ooh.
So yeah, NC State being able to put it together yesterday against Oakland, quite the story. Hit Aaron up at Aaron_Torres. You can find me at Dan Beyer on Fox. And after this game in Indianapolis, Marquette in Colorado, Purdue and Utah State playing the Midwest region in a 1-8 game. Ohio State's up on Duke in the women's tournament nearing the end of the first half, 36-30 in that one. It is Fox Sports Sunday, the region we all should be watching, and why one school is about to play the role of the bad guy. We'll tell you why next year on Fox Sports Radio. Well, Marquette finally missed a 2-point field goal, but they still have a nice lead on Colorado by 11, as you heard Kevin Wyatt say. Welcome in. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there with unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. the Colorado basketball defense, kind of like the Colorado football defense. Non-existent.
Deion out here taking strays, Coach Prime. He's just trying to – he took enough strays this week by admitting that he hasn't done any in-home visits this year, so.
Well, the no defense apparently runs through multiple athletic teams in Boulder, Colorado, because Marquette getting whatever they want. Still a half to go, though, for Tad Boyle and his squad to try to turn things around and pull an upset. This game is in Indianapolis. It's in the South region. Later today in Indy, in the Midwest region, after the conclusion of this one, it's number one Purdue against number eight Utah State. Utah State may pull the upset in this game. Purdue is going to have the home crowd. We still, you know, even Grambling gave the Boilers a little worry there for a little while, but I don't think anybody is automatically advancing Purdue into the Sweet 16 despite them being the favorite. This is where I want to get to my point, Aaron Torres.
Okay, let's
do it. If Purdue wins, think of this Sweet 16.
Okay.
You've got Purdue, the number one seed.
Yep.
I know. Who's been wanting to go back to the Final Four for 40, you know, some odd years. Tennessee.
Ooh, never been.
Never been.
Never been.
Creighton. Never been. So close last year. So close getting there. Losing in the Elite Eight to San Diego State. Oh, so close. And here you have a Gonzaga team. Then a month ago, I think I said to you, is Gonzaga even going to make the tournament? You know, and then they end up having a couple of big wins. They were likely in, but it wasn't the guarantee that we had come accustomed to. Now Gonzaga goes on a run at the end of the WCC regular season. Didn't win the conference tournament, lost in the championship game. Now Gonzaga there to be the villain. And that is what is... I like it when teams reach something that they haven't done before. That's what made Virginia Purdue in 2019 so mm-hmm. difficult, because you knew someone was going to have their heart ripped out. And as Kia Clark is in the backcourt and there's 3 seconds left, I'm like, man, I feel bad for Tony Bennett in Virginia.
Sure.
They're so close. They're not going to get it. This could have been their opportunity. They had lost in an Elite Eight before, trying to bounce back from that loss the year prior. And then the amazing pass to Diakite, the bucket, and then it's back on Purdue. Man, how can Purdue lose that one so close? But you think of these three schools and all of their opportunities, and fate has not been on their side in making it to that finish line. And here would be Gonzaga, the team that, by the way, had the same, you know, bugaboo that these three schools are trying to overcome, standing in their way to prevent that from happening.
But couldn't you argue, though, if Gonzaga somehow did make the Final Four, that, you know, the dream of them winning the national championship, the one thing that has eluded them, would then be in play? Like, I think it's one that if you have no personal favoritism or bias, like me, Purdue fans hate me, so I kind of would revel in them not making the Final Four. But I think you could be happy for all four programs, right? Like, you look at some of these other regions, it's like, well, I'll say it, like, you know, like UConn just won it last year. Like, UConn's won 5 championships since 1999. Like, you know, Illinois hasn't been to a Final Four since this, or I guess it was 05. Iowa State, maybe they've been to a Final Four. I don't know. So the point I'm trying to make is, like, there are teams in all these regions. You know, Carolina, they're always in the mix. Let Arizona get their first Final Four in forever. I think you could legitimately be happy for all four of those teams if, obviously, Purdue advances.
It's there. Different.
Oh,
it is.
Different.
It is completely different.
Noted Zags hater Dan Barnes.
No, it's different because like Purdue isn't the same as an Illinois team that hasn't been there for 20 years. This is not only Matt Painter's issue. This was Gene Katie's issue.
Oh yeah,
this is a 40-year thing. Plus, you're also in a state that is basketball crazed, and for so long had played as the little brother to Bob Knight in Indiana.
It's true.
And now here you have an opportunity where you are consistently one of the top teams in the country, but you just kind of can't get out of your own way. And so for Purdue, it would just be enormous. And it's funny as well, because I went to a Big Ten school, and my buddies, they all follow Big Ten basketball. They can't stand the Purdue fan base.
Sure.
Now, I'm out here on the West Coast. I'm not as affected by it as they are back in the Midwest and in feeling it, but they can't stand them. But I'm sure the fan base is probably that way because of the 44 years that it has been. And with Tennessee and Creighton especially, Aaron, considering, you know, the success of the teams and now like where they've built up to, and to come so close as they did. Like Rick Barnes has been to a Final Four, just not with Tennessee. Tennessee's got their own issues, but also they would trade in a Final Four if they could get their football team in a playoff, 12 sure, team or 4 team, you know, no like in doubt. A heartbeat. Like there's no doubt about it. But for that to be Creighton's opportunity in what that would mean, and that's an elevator. Gonzaga's been to, heck, they've been to a couple Final Fours. They've been to a couple championship games. Were favored in a championship game they ended up, you know, losing a couple of years ago. Like, they have been there. Them, like, going back after a four-year absence just to me isn't, it's not even remotely close. Plus, honestly, for as good as Gonzaga's looked in these first two games, I don't think they're good enough to win the national title, so it's not even realistic where you could just take that. I'm sure for Gonzaga fans, going to the Final Four would be great, but I don't think it's going to have a national spreading feel or a bigger sort of feel-good story as a Purdue, Tennessee, or Creighton going to a Final Four.
Yeah, I could buy that. Because I think if you're Gonzaga, the only way it becomes like a really cool story is if you end up winning the national championship. So if you had to pick one that you would be most happy for, if you will, who would it be as far as those three in the Midwest?
I'm going to take Tennessee out, so it would be down to Purdue.
Why Tennessee out?
Because of the football thing.
Sure.
Because Rick Barnes has been to one, and I know it was a long, long time ago, 21 years ago. But still, he's been to a Final Four. I'm taking Tennessee out. And again, Purdue's been to two. The last one was 1980. I think it would be Purdue. Because of Zach Edey, because of for them to finally accomplish that, I think that would be the biggest story, especially after what happened last year, maybe similar to Virginia. But it's tough. You just said Purdue fans hate you, so
they do.
Would assume that you would probably want to see Creighton then get that edge.
No, I mean, I do think, and I understand the Tennessee thing, and even Tennessee fans would readily admit they care much more about, they would trade a Final Four in basketball for a Final 12 in football. That they would even admit that. But I do think the Rick Barnes narrative has been a little bit overblown. You know, I put this out on Twitter the other day. Rick Barnes has now been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, three of the last five NCAA tournaments that have been played. Bill Self can't say that. John Calipari certainly can't say that. Tom Izzo can't say that. So I would be happy for Rick Barnes. I don't know.
Were you catering to the Tennessee crowd? Because it did get some run, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, they love that. Because is that really like I'm trying not to diss Rick Barnes here, but is that what we're hanging our hat on?
I do think you can't say that he never has success in March when he's made it to the second weekend. At Tennessee, by the way. We're not talking about Kentucky. We're not talking about Kansas. We're talking about Tennessee. And I know they've had success before him, but they haven't had a lot of high-level success. Purdue, I'll say this really quickly on Purdue. I'm so torn because, I kind of feel bad for Zach Edey because I've been critical of the way that he is refereed, but that's not Zach Edey's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think he's a good player, and I think people parachute into college basketball and, oh, look at this big stiff. It's like, no, he's a really skilled player. But I also do think he is unfairly refereed. And I also think, I said this on my show last night, I think Matt Painter's turned into just a whiner. Just every time he's at the podium, he's complaining about something. It's like, you know, even the Zach Edey stuff, he's like, I just don't understand why no one can appreciate what he's doing. It's like, coach, if your team was on the wrong side of a 38-9 foul discrepancy or whatever, you would be just as pissed. Stop. And then last night he was complaining. I think he was complaining about tip times or something.
I'm going to get into that. Yeah, go ahead and finish your point.
It's like you're not good enough to complain this much, okay? If you were freaking, Nick Saban or Kirby Smart, I don't know. I think he's getting to that. You know, all these coaches, they have high level success. They never really get pushback, especially in basketball. It's like, you know, at least Boeheim made like three Final Fours before he became the crankiest guy in the world. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
The point that made Matt Painter so mad and made a lot of Purdue fans mad is something, and I've told this story, and I'll just say it again because there are people who haven't heard it for the first time. When I was in high school, the thing that we would do was go to first and second round games of the NCAA tournament. Yep. And so it would be the Thursday and Saturday or the Friday and Sunday. So you have four games on the Thursday or Friday, and then you would have two on the Saturday and Sunday. What was normal before this current TV contract, and this is 30 years ago, Aaron, is the first one we went to was in Milwaukee. So guess what? Tip time, probably 11:30 for game one.
Sure.
Tip time, 2 o'clock for game two. Gets done at about 4 o'clock-ish. Then you come back and 7 o'clock, let's tip it off again. Well, now with all of the games that are kind of staggered start, so if you're at halftime of one game, you can go and check out the completion of another. Yeah. Like they're moving it all around. The schedule is completely different. But when you buy tickets to these events, what happens is you don't get one ticket for four games.
Yes.
You get one ticket for a session, which is two games. So they had to clear out Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the first session, which went super long because Colorado and Florida, you know, took forever to finish. So you have to get everybody out of the arena, do the cleaning or whatever you need to do, and then you have to bring everybody in. So Purdue's playing the late game, and they probably have, what, 12,000 of the fans there, maybe even more, filling in. So now you have all these people leaving, and now you have to accommodate jamming these 12,000 people in like a 30-minute window because CBS wants you to tip off at 7:20 Eastern time.
Yeah.
So that was his point about it. They delayed the game a little bit, but the TV scheduling, so much was made. I know Jeff Schwartz was talking about it earlier on the network. I think we may have mentioned it on Friday, but the early game yesterday was in Salt Lake City. They were tipping off at 10:45 local time, and then last night in Pittsburgh, you had a tip-off come up at about 9:40 Eastern approximately. I think maybe it wasn't until 10 o'clock. It's the TV schedule that's screwing it, and what Painter was so mad about was they've got thousands upon thousands of fans that aren't in their seats because of the way that the NCAA does this in clearing out fans. That's what he was so mad about.
No, and I remember talking about this last night. Now, I think these are caviar problems. Wow, we're so good that they want us in prime time and we have so many fans they can't get in. It's just like, I just don't want to hear it. It's just, I don't know. I don't care. And by the way, like you said, I think Arizona's got him. I didn't hear Tommy Lloyd whining. Maybe he did. I don't know. But it's just like, they're caviar problems. It's just like, I don't know. I just don't want to hear this. Every time I hear him on the podium, and by the way, it's because your program's essentially been irrelevant forever. And I think that's what it is like, you know, because Purdue fans, whenever, you know, you're just doing this for clicks. It's like, well, if I wanted to fight a fan base over clicks, Purdue would not be the one that I chose. I'd probably make fun of Indiana, probably make fun of Kansas, Kentucky, UConn, whatever. I just truly believe what I believe. But he has become a little too whiny for my
taste. That's the problem with you, because this isn't a caviar problem. This is the NCAA saying, like, not only do we want our TV money, we're going to do it at the expense of teams and their fans attending the game. Like this, he and him crying wolf about eight other things probably makes this sound at whining. It's a really good point. And Tommy Lloyd in Arizona didn't have to deal with it because they played in the early window on Thursday.
They had a 10:45 tip-off.
Yeah, but all their fans got into the arena.
Yeah, like, but they also had to get up at probably 5:30 a.m.
No,
prep.
They didn't. It's only 20,000. The point is you have to move 12,000 people
up. The team probably, to get their meal in, their pregame walkthrough, probably got up at 6 a.m.
So did Dayton.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's a caviar problem, though. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
I think that you're piling on Painter a little bit. But that's nothing to expect. That's, you know, nothing else to expect from noted Purdue hater Aaron Torres.
Yeah, no.
Get him at Aaron
Torres. The funniest thing, by the way,
find
I got
me
a,
at Dan Byer on
a
Fox.
Very mean-spirited DM yesterday with a lot of expletives and misspelled words from a Purdue fan telling me how, you know, everything was coming to me. And he said, when Purdue makes the Final Four, da-da-da-da. I was like, well, I picked Purdue to play for the championship, so I hope they make it because I'm going to win a lot of money. It's amazing how quiet and how few Tanner Flynn, I hope Purdue makes the Final Four and you're in attendance. When you hear someone calling you Zach Edey's B-word, that'll be me. Hope we can have a convo. I said, I hope
they make it. Can we get him on next segment? Can we get this guy on next segment?
I said, I hope they make it too. I have them playing UConn for the title and will win a lot of money. Appreciate your support. He saw that 22 hours ago, according to Instagram. He has yet to respond.
He's Eric Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Just like in basketball, a successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what really sets them apart. So lace up your sneakers and make the winning play by heading to your local Tractor Supply store today. A special edition of Easy as 1-2-3-4 comes up next. Aaron's in the hot seat. He's going to have lifelines. I hope he uses them, unless Bo Benson's being talked to by Steve Hartman and deems him ineligible. That could be the case. That's next. Plus,
oh no,
Iowa has done something with Caitlin Clark that I think every school should do. We'll explain what that is next here on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Sunday tournament rolling on. I'm Dan Beyer. He's Aaron Torres. Steve Hartman and Rich Hornberger take over at the top of the hour. And then it's more basketball, more basketball, more basketball. Kelvin Washington, Kerry Rhodes after that. Mark Willard, Ephraim Salaam. I think Ephraim's going to be on during the San Diego State game. That'll be interesting. Former Aztec footballer and hoopster for a little while. That should be interesting. So keep it locked here on Fox Sports Radio all day long as the tournament continues.
When I walked into the Final Four last year at Houston, first face I saw, Ephraim Salaam. That's a true story.
When the brackets came out, we talked about this. San Diego State was put on the bracket, like the physical bracket that you print out, in the same exact spot as they were a year ago. And what also happened a year ago? Furman ends up having the upset. San Diego State ends up playing the 13 seed. What happens here? Yale gets the upset of Auburn. San Diego State takes on Yale in the bracket where you're facing the number one overall seed. Yeah, it's deja vu all over again. We'll see if the Aztecs can. That's the last game of the night, I believe.
Yeah. By the way, really quick, because I know we got to get some other stuff. Do you have any beef? Like, I see a lot of the, how do we have one game at 12:15? It's like, I can't. Like, there's just so much anger that I can have built up. And I don't know that I care that much. And, I think most of the late games will be wrapped by about 9 p.m. Eastern time. I think there's, San Diego State Yale is the late game. I don't care that much.
You don't care that much because you will watch all day long.
Sure. Okay.
The problem with it that I feel is I believe that they're trying to squeeze way too much juice out of the orange. I get it on a Saturday, but there's a thing on Sunday. When CBS used to have it just exclusively, you'd have to be done by 60 minutes.
Yeah.
You would have, doubled up games in this window. And now you don't have to do that. You can have a game on a Sunday night. And I just think I use the casual viewer pretty broad. Outside of an absolute diehard, I think it doesn't necessarily work for them because they're not putting in the 12 hours of, like, this game tipped off for us here on the West Coast, 9:10 local time, 12:10 Eastern. It's going to be 12 hours of basketball because at 9 o'clock tonight, San Diego State and Yale will likely be wrapping up. So that's the portion of it where I can see if you're a little frustrated because, some people have stuff to do. Some people may not want to watch a blowout. This is now becoming more of a game. Kevin's going to give us an update here in 30 seconds, and then we'll play our own game here on Fox Sports Radio. But that's where I think the complaints are. I don't think people are complaining for the sake of complaining. My problem with yesterday, aside from the Salt Lake City early tip, even though the early wake-up call wasn't too bad for me, I just thought it's weird to have a game tip off in a 10 o'clock hour. My problem was, how does Michigan State, North Carolina not get the exclusive window?
Yeah.
Where I thought that was the marquee game, and I thought that nothing against Dayton and Arizona or the Gonzaga-Kansas game that followed, but I just felt that North Carolina-Michigan State was the more compelling game, and that was the game that I would have liked to have seen just stand alone by itself. Yeah, that was my issue with it.
What was the other game in that bracket? It was Tennessee-Texas. Yeah, so it could have been Tennessee-Texas into Carolina-Michigan State, and then into the Gonzaga and all that
stuff. And that would have been fine. Let's get an update from Kevin Wired. It's going to be one of Aaron Torres' lifelines, as easy as 1-2-3-4. What's going on, Kev?
Yeah, we got 15:41 to go in the first game of the day between 2-seeded Marquette, 10th-seeded Colorado. And this has been a good game so far. A high-scoring affair, 52-49 in favor of the Golden Eagles. And they've shot 64% for the game, 22-34, 7-16 from beyond the three-point line. And Colorado is starting to heat up as well. They are 20 of 39 shooting. That's 51.3%. Cam Jones leading all scorers. He's got 16 points for Marquette. Second game of the day won't get going until 2:40 Eastern. They'll follow this game in Indianapolis. It'll be a matchup of top-seeded Purdue, 8-seeded Utah State. We got two games going on so far in the women's side of things. Second-seeded Ohio State, 7th-seeded Duke. And after struggling for much of that first half, the Blue Devils on top right now. It's 49-47. They've got 1:22 to go in the third quarter. Duke now up to 50% shooting. They were in the low 20s for the first quarter and a half or so of this game, but have really come on strong. Other game going on right now in women's college basketball, top-seeded South Carolina running away with this one against 8-seeded North Carolina. It's 28-8. They have reached the end of the first quarter. The next game coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern time, 4th-seeded Kansas State, 5th-seeded Colorado, and then coming up in a couple hours, it'll be 3rd-seeded LSU, 11th-seeded Middle Tennessee, and Kim Mulkey alleging that the Washington Post, an unpublished story, was, quote, a hit piece, and she has threatened a lawsuit. So we'll have to see exactly what the Washington Post has to say about her and what Mulkey's response will be.
Their response is going to sell some newspapers, by the way. Everybody want to know what it's all in there.
I don't think it's getting
there.
Published because they were probably trying to slander her, and I think that they know. I don't think it gets published personally. But.
Oh.
And if it does, it'll be the least interesting article ever. But it may sell some newspapers, as you said.
You got more, Kev, or are you good to go?
Oh, yeah. In golf, we have the Valspar Championship as Keith Mitchell. He's the leader, and he's about to tee off. In the next 20 minutes or so, he's 10 under par, and then three-way tie. And Mackenzie Hughes set to tee off in the under 10 minutes. Peter Malnati also set to tee off. Seamus Power also tied at 8 under. He will get going at 1:50 Eastern time. And NASCAR Circuit of the Americas will get going 3:30 Eastern on Fox. Back to you guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. You're going to stick around. You may be needed by Aaron Torres. Hit him up at Aaron_Torres. Find me at Dan Byer on Fox. Bo Benson, the executive producer. Chris Perfetz, our technical producer. You three, Kevin, Bo, and Chris, will serve as lifelines to Aaron Torres in a game we like to call easy as 1-2-3-4. Let's strike up the band. For those that are unfamiliar, because we usually don't play it in this time slot, I give Aaron a topic, four separate questions. He doesn't have to give me all of the correct answers, just some of them. If you have any questions or want to use any lifelines, the guys are there available. You can workshop answers out. I'll ask for a final answer, and the goal is a perfect score of 10. But the real goal is to hit the over-under. The over-under today, 8.5. So, yes, 8.5. We've set the bar high for you, Aaron Torres.
Pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Are you ready to play easy as 1-2-3-4?
Let's do it.
All right, Aaron, name one of two states that produced the most NCAA tournament teams this year. There were two states that produced the most NCAA tournament schools in the men's bracket.
Wow. That's actually
name
not
one
an
of
easy
two.
One.
You can use a lifeline.
I know. I'm trying to just think about the bracket really quick. I know we're a little tight on time here.
That's all right.
If anybody thinks they might have an idea.
You want Bo? You want Chris? You want Kevin? You need to call on him.
I'll bring in Bo first.
All right, Bo Benson.
Aaron, I've watched so much college basketball this year, so this is the best choice you could
have made. This is like having Billis J. Williams and Seth Greenberg here, so I really didn't know who to call on first.
So our initial thought was the state of Illinois, because at least Northwestern, Illinois, and Marquette playing right now.
Marquette's in Wisconsin?
Never mind.
How about this?
That shows how much I know about college basketball.
Alabama had Alabama, Auburn, and Samford, and UAB. You know what? Bo, I like where your head's at. I think Alabama is one
That's
of the
That's what I
answers.
Said, Alabama, for yes. sure, yeah.
Bo, thank you for your effort.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, Alabama.
All right, show me Alabama. Yes, four schools in, you're
Let's
right.
Let's go, Bo!
Bama, Auburn, UAB, Samford. Texas had six.
Yeah, Texas. Would
Texas.
Have been one, I,
guess. I will say, Steve Hartman did say Texas in here as well. So.
Tech, TCU, Houston, and Baylor all making the
if
dance.
If Steve Hartman could slide over next to Chris Perfett now, that would be much appreciated. Oh,
that would be cheating. That would be that. Hartman is not allowed to play this game.
Perfect,
all right,
Perfect. Just give me a wink when Steve Hartman's fed you the information. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Next question.
Name two of three Ivy League schools that haven't made the NCAA tournament in the 2000s.
I love how you teased that. Oh, this is going to be so easy.
I think the next ones you'll get.
Okay.
But these are just because they're first does not mean they're the easiest questions.
Okay. So teams that have not made the NCAA tournament in the 2000s.
From the Ivy League.
Okay. So I know.
There are three of them. I just need to know two
yeah,
of them.
I know Yale has, Princeton has, Harvard has. Cornell has, I think Dartmouth has. They're so busy unionizing, I can't keep up with what's going on over there.
You got Kevin, you got Chris available.
I'm going to say, Chris, how familiar are you with the Ivy League?
I had to remember all of, I had to
you
like
know all
really
the schools
quickly remember the schools that are in the
Hartman,
Ivy League.
This bothers Hartman so much. His okay. show's not even
I know.
For 25
now, now
more
I have
minutes.
To wink and he is like running around the studio. Okay.
So you can at least name all of the schools.
Yes.
Okay, so Cornell, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, I know are off the board.
Yeah.
So we got Columbia, Brown, and then what are the other ones?
Penn.
Penn's off the board for sure.
Yeah. Wait, how many do we have here? Is that eight? Because there's only eight schools in the Ivy League.
We're missing one for sure.
Brown, Columbia, Cornell.
And I just need two of three.
Dartmouth,
all right,
Harvard.
Brown and Dartmouth.
Are those your final answers?
Yes.
Show me Brown. One of their stories when they made it to the championship
That's
game that
thought.
They hadn't been since 1986. And show me Dartmouth. 1959, the last time Dartmouth
Mr. Ivy
made
League
it to the
himself.
NCAA tournament. The other school, Columbia.
Yeah.
1968 was
Were
the last time.
Were we missing
time.
A school or did we get all eight?
I actually thought you got all of them.
Yeah,
I think the only
eight.
One you were missing was Penn, and they had made
Penn
it.
Penn was the one that
yeah,
I was missing.
And they, yeah.
Yes. All right. Three for three. See? You
Mr.
worked this out.
Ivy League, Chris Perfetti.
All right. Aaron Torres, name
schools
three,
I didn't get into.
Name three of four sites that will host a Final Four in the following next 4 years. Not including this year in Glendale, Arizona, but three of the four Final Four sites in the next 4 years.
All right. San Antonio is one. Next 4 years?
Mm-hmm. 25, 26, 27, and 28.
Was Vegas 28 or 29? Okay, so what did I say? San Antonio's one.
Okay.
Indianapolis, I feel very confident, is one.
They like to host them.
They do like to host them. I think Atlanta might be in the mix as well. So you said 25, 26, 27, 28.
Yep.
I think Vegas is 28. So my final answer, I'm going to save Wyatt for the final question,
okay,
is Indianapolis, San Antonio, and Vegas.
All right. Show me San Antonio. Yep, they get it next year. Show me Indianapolis. They get it in 2026. And show me Las Vegas. There it is, 2028.
Whoa!
2027. Heading
Atlanta.
To Motown. Heading to
oh,
back to Detroit.
I knew that. I actually knew that.
And Perfett was just waiting in the wings to say 2027.
I actually didn't know that.
Oh, all right. Then he wasn't. Maybe Kevin Wyatt was. He is the last lifeline
yes.
for Aaron Torres, if needed.
Steve Hartman, make sure to make your way to the update studio.
Well, I know Steve knows this one, and I'm actually pretty sure you know it as well. Aaron Torres, name four of the five. No, name four of the five schools Duke has beaten in a national championship game.
Wyatt, you want to chime in at all?
Yeah, I know they beat Butler. That was a great game.
That was actually one I didn't think of. So, yes, I will. Butler is an answer. Michigan is an answer in 92. Wisconsin, sorry, Dan, is an answer from 15.
It's all right.
And so we're talking about 91, where they beat UNLV in the semifinal, and where they beat Kansas in the final. So that's my final answer. And I think 01 was Arizona, but I'm almost positive on that. So final answer is Michigan, Wisconsin, Kansas, and Kevin Wyatt's Butler Bulldogs.
Okay, show me Michigan. Yes, 1992, the second leg of the back-to-back. Show me Kansas. That was the first leg of the back-to-back in Indianapolis.
That was the famous Grant Hill dunk from the rafters, right?
Yes. Like the Mark Randall-led Kansas Jayhawks. Show me the Butler Bulldogs. Oh,
Kevin
so
Wyatt,
close.
Baby.
Gordon and then, Hayward and Brad Stevens.
Yes, yep. And then show me the Wisconsin Badgers. There it is. Perfect game.
That scared me. I didn't get the bell. I got worried. Did I screw that up?
Hey, Perfett mixes it up here. He's got a little different taste.
Thank you.
There's also an applause. Yeah, there's a whole shebang. Yep, and they beat Arizona in 2001. The 2001 one, I think, kind of gets lost in the mix. And the reason I think it gets lost in the mix is because of what happened in 2002.
Williams.
Yeah, when they ended up losing to Indiana, and then Maryland ended up cutting down the nets.
That was when Torres became a little bit of a college hoops aficionado, because I remember saying Jay Williams was like so... People make fun of Jay Williams as the talking head. He was such a good college basketball player, but he was like a 62% free throw shooter. And I remember being like, at some point, little teeny tiny Torres was like, at some point that free throw shooting is going to cost him. I was probably like 16 at that point, but you get the point.
Yes, it did.
And he missed him against Indiana. And Indiana has never been back to a Final Four since. That is another. That's easy as, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 0 Final Four appearances since 02 for Indiana.
Oh, I'll never forget Mike Davis pounding the, you know, oh, what have you done? Why would you foul? What are you doing? Indiana survived and then made it, all the way to the championship game. So, to your point of the Final Never Four appearance. Back. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Buckeyes and Blue Devils in a tight one in the women's bracket. The Buffaloes and Golden Eagles a tight one in the men's bracket. Plus, why every school should follow what Iowa did with Caitlin Clark. I think that this is really cool. I think it's really awesome. We'll tell you about it next year on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Fox Sports Sunday. I'm Dan Beyer. He's Aaron Torres. Marquette up 5 on Colorado, 69-64. 8 minutes left to go, and that one was tied just a little bit ago. Golden Eagles went on a little run here to retake the lead. Women's tournament, Ohio State and Duke in a tight one. They're 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Duke has just taken a 2-point lead at 59-57. Iowa, one of the top seeds in the women's tournament, picked up their first win of the tournament yesterday with a win against Holy Cross. And I want to bring this point up, Aaron. The last time that we saw Iowa on that court was against this Ohio State team in the regular season finale. And it was quite a game. Caitlin Clark sang her swan song. And I don't know if they had it at that point, but I didn't notice it. But I noticed it yesterday. that they have marked a spot on the floor at Carver Hawkeye Arena from where Caitlin Clark broke the all-time scoring record for NCAA Women's Division I basketball.
That's cool.
It is a really, really awesome thing to do. And what there's a couple of things that I love about it. And if you look, all they have is they have a little number 22, and I think it says Clark underneath it. It's not enormous, but if you look at the court, you will always see it. It doesn't stand out. It doesn't take up, you know, one-eighth of the court. It's just this little square of where she hit the shot. And as someone who loves that part of, like, sports history, when you go into an arena and you look back and you say, oh, I remember when this shot was here and that shot was here, all of that stuff, I just thought it was really cool that Iowa put that on the floor and figured out a way to commemorate Caitlin Clark's record-setting, the shot that ended up breaking the record.
As someone who's relatively anti-Caitlin Clark coverage, that is pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. So that is actually very cool.
Are you a history person at any point? Do you go into an arena
or go
into a field and say, oh, this is where that happened?
I don't know about that, but I am a historian. Like, I went to Fog Allen Fieldhouse for the first time in December when UConn played there. And I was the guy that was there 5 hours early. You know, you go to the museum. Oh, go to the school store.
Oh, sure.
I'm wearing my Kansas basketball shirt right now that I bought at the school store. It was funny, when I went to the store, they have a store attached to the arena. I was there to cover the game, but I met other UConn fans and they were like, yeah, it's kind of weird buying the other team's gear, but you're Fog Allen Fieldhouse. You got to buy something. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, no, I am absolutely that guy. And, you know, it's been a minute since I went to Yankee Stadium, but, you know, go to Monument Park, do that kind of stuff. Like, you know, so, yes, I am very much a historian of sports. And if I went to Iowa, I would probably go to whatever museum they have commemorating Caitlin Clark. And I know they're really good at wrestling and da-da-da-da. So, yes.
I believe that they still have it. I am not sure if, because it, of course, at times has been revamped, but at TPC Sawgrass, where the Players Championship was last week, there have been a lot of memorable things there. They have spots throughout the course.
Oh,
have a little,
cool.
It'll be bigger than a 50, you know, like a silver dollar, bigger than that, but maybe the size of just a sprinkler head would probably be apropos. Where Hal Sutton hit his, Be the Right Club Today is in the 18th fairway. They had other spots, and it's throughout the course. Ben Hogan's One Iron at Marion, there's a plaque there. A couple of, you know, golf courses like to do this. From this spot, someone hit this shot. Justin Thomas shot 63 at the U.S. Open in 2017, eagled the par 5 18th at Erin Hills. Erin Hills put just a little shamrock from where he hit his 3-wood, which was, you know, 260, 270 yards away. I love that sort of stuff. So in seeing where Caitlin Clark hit the shot, it's a piece of history.
Yeah.
And the two things that I just wanted to point out that were, I think that it says a lot. Number one, when you actually see the location of the shot and how far away it is from the 3-point line, it's pretty ridiculous.
Sure.
You know, and that represents who she is. But they also didn't put a spot at the free throw line when she broke Pete Maravich's record. Like, there's no fake record breaking, which was something that I, you know, just kind of started to tire a little of. And it wasn't her fault. It was everybody else trying to piggyback and cash in on the Caitlin Clark thing. They put a spot where she broke the women's record and put a mark on the floor. And I just thought that was pretty cool.
You know what's funny? I saw Doug Gottlieb, who I know you work with Monday through Friday, was really the first one to go in on the why are we comparing Caitlin Clark to Pete Maravich thing. And I didn't like it, but it didn't really bother me. And Doug was the first one that I saw, and I think it opened the floodgates for everybody else to be like, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous that, like, why are we comparing her to Pete Maravich? One has nothing to do with the other. They're not the same sport. There was no 3-point line. Pete Maravich only played 3 years because he wasn't eligible as a freshman. It's like, and so I just bring it up because I didn't know that would become a discourse, but I agree with Doug, and I don't want to speak for Doug, but I think you sound the same way as, like, that was such a ridiculous thing. They're like, oh, I mean, she broke Pete Maravich's record. She's like, no, she didn't, because she's not playing the same sport.
we were on the Sunday that it was happening. I was doing the Sunday show, and I said as much then of that game.
Okay.
You were not, like, you weren't with me that day. But it just, it felt like it was manufactured.
Agreed.
That's what it was, because there was a countdown to it, and then she ended up breaking it. But I just even said it at that day. I said, the Michigan, when she hit it against Michigan to break the record in the game that I believe was on Peacock, you know, like, that's the true one. This one just seemed like trying to get more, you know, like,
gotta
more juice out of it.
Sunday
it was on
at
Fox, you know, like, it was on Fox too. So, like, with that, it just, to me, it didn't necessarily feel right.
Yeah, well, I guess you started the discourse then, but I agree with you 100%.
I just did not do it in the way that Doug Gottlieb was feverishly. I just did it more in passing, like, you know, and it just didn't feel organic. Didn't feel like it was true to form like everything else was. All right, Marquette's up 5-6 minutes to go in the matchup in Indianapolis in that 2-10 matchup. Winner of that game gets NC State coming up on Friday. So for Aaron Torres, I'm Dan Beyer. Keep it locked here on Fox as we're live from the TireRack.com studios. Steve Hartman and Rich Orenberger have you covered for more hoops action right here on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.